Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Yutes, and we are on Yutes Amar Aleph towards the top. Just one hour, again, tomorrow's daf will be up from the last cycle. I just checked, I was a little not feeling well then, and it was a little shorter, but that'll be up from the last cycle, and then we'll pick up with Chaf Aleph. But either way, daf Yutes Amar Aleph on top. So just one hour from yesterday, and that is, we started getting into, in depth, the machlokas hatanaim that is really a leitmotif throughout this entire parak, the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The Gemara had a havamina yesterday, what the machlokas was, but lamaskana, and that is what we generally assume, and this is how we presented it at the end of Baba Metzia, and that is Rabbi Yossi holds al ha nizak laharchik etz atzmo, in a case where there is indirect, we'll call a type of damage, so then whose responsibility is it? Yeah, Rabbi Yossi is not going to say that if somebody goes over to somebody else and starts smashing their property, oh, alanizak lahakik atzmo, you have to run away. Rabbi Yossi is not going to say that. Rabbi Yossi agrees that there's like an idea of hezek, and there's an idea of iser hezek, and amaisa hezek, and hefsin mamon, and everything that we discussed back in Baba Kama. But the topic of this parak is where I am doing something in my own rishus. And it happens to be that maybe in the future, maybe now, maybe in a possibility type of way, all different types of cases and permutations, damage might ensue. So the question is, whose responsibility is it? Do I have to watch out for my own property? You're allowed to do what you have to do, and then I just have to be careful. Do we say that? And we discussed that back already in the first parak, if you remember, in the sugyas of Hezek Re'iyah. You know, how much do I have to watch where my eyes go? How much do you have responsibility? You put up a wall, so you could block your own privacy. So that idea also came up there. But this parak is about not just the visual damage, but the physical damage. And that is, Rabbi Yossi holds al hanisak laharchik et atzmo, he has to distance himself, while the Chachamim say, al hamazik laharchik et atzmo. And even yesterday, we had different distinctions and chilukim within that. If I plant to dig a pit, do you have a pit there already? You might have a pit, you might choose to put a pit there. Is it a field that usually people put pits in? Is it a field that people don't put pits in? All the different cases. But the Gemara yesterday brought up the Mishnah later on in this parak, where the Mishnah discussed, if I plant a tree next to your ditch, it has to be 25 amos away, because that's how far the roots go, and the roots are going to destroy the walls of your ditch. And the Gemara there discussed, what happens if I put it up illegally? What if I put it up legally, and then you put a ditch there? Do I have to chop it down or not? All the different details that were discussed. The Rishonim here don't really get into it, but we've discussed elsewhere the issue of cutting down trees. The issue of cutting down trees is something based on what it says in the Torah. I mean, the Torah tells us the context of Baal Tashchis in the Torah is about trees. We know in Parsha Shoftim, where the Torah discusses it in Perek Chaf, it says, don't besiege a city and destroy the fruit trees. Lo sashchis es eitza lindoach alav garzen ki mimenu sochal v'yosa l'sichros, because you eat from it and don't cut it down. Ki adam eitz asada. There's a lot of symbolism also on a deeper level. But the poskim discuss, that's a good question, whether it's only in Eretz Yisrael or not. So there are some chazals that limit it, but we assume, let's say, it applies, the concept applies all over. After all, the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the Isser, he says, not only about trees, but this applies by any destructive type of behavior. And therefore, that wouldn't apply to any specific place in the world. There is the machlokas Rishonim that has been mentioned before. And that is, how much is Baal Tashchis about the hana'a that is lost, and how much is it about focused on me? Right, then the Sefer HaChinuch has an understanding of the Isra Baal Tashchis, which we would have expected from the Sefer HaChinuch. He does not focus on what you're destroying. He does not focus on the hefsid hana'a. And that's what, if you look in the Netziv really talks about that. Hashem gives you something, you're destroying it. Hashem helps, create something. So how can you destroy that? You're being mafsid, the hana'a that Hashem is giving you. That's one idea focused on the davar hanifsad. But the other way, the Sefer HaChinuch says, no, the focus is, if I spend my day destroying, I'm going to become a destructive person. I'm going to affect my spiritual personality by destroying all day. Not focused on what is lost. And those ideas might even be alluded to in the two phrases that we just read from the Pasuk. Ki mimenu sochel v'yoso lo sichros. What's the double lashon? You're going to eat from it. Don't destroy it. That's number one, right? You're losing the hana. And don't cut it down. V'yoso lo sichros, because it's going to affect you. But, so the Torah talks about trees. The Rambam says, if one cuts down trees, that's an Isser Daraisa with Malkus. If one cuts down if one destroys anything else, there's makas mardus, which then makes it somewhat unusual and mysterious. Does the Rambam think everything else besides trees is an issa d'rabanan? Or is it an issa d'oraisa without makas, because it's not mefurish bikra? That's a discussion in the mefarshim of the Rambam. But specifically trees, there is a discussion in the poskim, because if we look in the Gemara in Meches Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph, the Gemara says there that you can't cut down trees, and there was even a danger. Right, the Gemara says Amar Rav, Hai Dikla Deton Kava, Asa L'Mitzasei. You can't cut it down. V'Yamar of Chanina Lo Shachiv Shivchas Bri Elo Tekatz Teina Below Zimnei. There was a tree cut down before its time, and that caused tragic consequences. And the question is, you know, what exactly happened? What was the problem there? Is there any heter to cut down trees? So that's what the Taz discusses in Yeridea Kufta Zayin. He wonders there, and this is one of the mysteries, there are a number of mysteries about the Shulchan Aruch, why the Shulchan Aruch does not quote the halachas of Baal Tashchis. That's a mystery. Why it's nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz in Yeridea asked that question, he doesn't answer it, but he says that there are certain halachic reasons why one would be able to. What's called Toelas. What's called toelas? A reason, meaning the Gemara spoke about, me'ula b'damim, already there in Baba Kama. If the tree is worth more as lumber than it is as tree, so then one would be able to cut it down. And the Taz there says, based on the rush, what about Tzorach Makomo? That comes up a lot. Somebody wants to build a deck out into the backyard and there's a tree there. So they want to cut down the tree. So are they allowed to cut down the tree? And the deck is more valuable to them than the tree. So we generally say, try to move the tree somewhere else. Right, replant it. But the Taz says there, Umizehi tarti la'echa chayelo karke emilanos la'kutzi lanos ava b'ishiyisham peiros k'dei livnos beis dira aleha. He was building a house. V'tamahati shebetur lohevi dinze b'shum makom m'niksisa se'ilan hanal rak b'smag. That's his mystery. It's not in the Torah, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. So even though Meikar Adin, this is mutter, if there is a larger purpose, the poskim, the achronim, still are very nervous about poskening about cases of trees. Right? We just got the Binyan Sion, the Aruch Laner, has a discussion where the guy needs a house to live. He has nowhere to live. He got married, and he needs a place to live, and he could build a house. So can he be Oker Ilanos, because they live no slow bias memkomam? So he talks about the whole tshuva, three pages, where he says, mutter, 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 mutter. Of course it's mutter, you need a place to live. And the last paragraph he says, but we should know that there's this sakana issue that's floating around in the various poskim. So really try to figure out a way, A, have a non-Jew cut it down, B, have it replanted if possible. Always try to sell it to a guy before it's cut down. Try to cover whatever we can. It's better not to. Yakar hilanosim sharashehem. And yasa akira de'enu yehudi. And, before you buy it, sell it to a guy. All these cases, the Binyan Siyan and the Shailas Yavetz, they all discuss this idea. Obviously, if there's a danger, there's no Shaila. If there's a poisonous fruit, if there's the tree's about to fall down, right? Any type of danger, of course, there's no Shaila to talk about. But if there is no danger, that's the discussion. But it's a fascinating topic where we have the halacha, and the halacha seems clear, but there's definitely something deeper going on in the discussion of the poskim, probably based on the psukim, ki ha'adam eis hasada. Connected to that. Okay, let's continue now. Top of the daf, Yutes of an Aleph, second line. Volonev Rachas Hakovsim. So back in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, Daf Yud Zayin, the Mishnah said, all of these types of ditches, I'm not allowed to dig near my friend's bor. So, but the Mishnah had a couple of sections. First, the Mishnah had, I can't dig a bor, or other types of ditches which have water in them. Siach, ma'ara, amasamayim, nivrachazakovsim, where I wash my clothing. Right, unless I distance it three tvachim, visad basid. We'll get back to that phrase. Then the Mishnah had the second section where it was materials. I wasn't allowed to put materials within three tvachim of the wall of my friend. Gefez, zevel, melach, sid, slaim. All of those. Those were the two sections. Then the third section was zraim and machresha and meiraglayim. And then the fourth section were the kalim. The mill and the oven. So those are the four sections that we're going to talk about today. Says the Gemara. Amar of Nachman, Amar Abba Baravua. Lo shanu elamen amachamson. When do we say that three tvachim is enough from distancing my washing area? That's only from the soaking area. The machamson, where I soak it, Rashi, sheshorin boas habagadim, yomo yomayim, I soak it in soap. So that's where three tefachim is enough. But avo min hanadion dalaramas. But if it's from the nadion, what's the nadion? Rashi quotes the place that you're meshafshef. The place where you squeeze it and you agitate it. So that needs more. Because as I do that, there are sprays that go out. There are spritzes. And that's why one needs four amos. That is the Rabbi Baravua's limitation on the Mishnah. The Mishnah, only three tefachim, only by the soaking area, not by the hanadion, by the scrubbing area. Right, this Gemara, let's just read it and then we'll talk about these processes. Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa also says, Nevrachas HaKovs in Dalat Amos. The Braisa says four amos. Hanantan, Gimel Tefachim, but doesn't our Mishnah say three tefachim? El Ashramina, Kidder of Nachman. So that is a way that we have a Braisa, we ask a Kasha, and then we give the answer. Ve'ika Durami Luhu Mirmi, some ask it as a Stira. Tana, Nevrachas HaKovs in Gimel Tefachim, Vatanya Arba Amos, Stira, Amr of Nachman, Amr period. Those are the three. Let's just finish. Rav Chiya Bereder of Avia Masi Labahedya. He had a beferish. Elim kein herchag mi svas mechamson lekosel gimel tvachim. Fine. This Gemara already is reflecting the different processes of washing, which hopefully we're familiar with from the Malacha of Libun on Shabbos. We know there are three processes in the washing cycle, in the ancient washing cycle, and in the modern washing machine cycle. The same three processes. And any one of those three are Asur on Shabbos. Midaraisa. Any one of the three. So if we think, in the olden days, what they do, they had a huge bowl, huge a barrel, and they put water in it, and they put the clothing in it, they soaked it. Right? That's over here. That's the mechamson. That's the first day. So let it sit there for a day or two, Rashi says. Then after that, you start working it. You're squeezing it, you're rubbing it, you're scrubbing it, you're trying to get the dirt out. That's section number two. That's hanadion. That's number two. And then, third cycle is where we try to get the water out. We squeeze it out before we hang it up, which is drying. But you squeeze it out on itself in order to remove the water. So that's also the three processes of the modern washing machine cycle. There's the soak cycle, there's the agitating cycle, that's where the machine is making all this noise, and then the rinse cycle, where it spins around trying to get all of the water out. Any one of those, they're all called washing, all three of those. And any one of those is Asur on Shabbos. Just putting something in liquid on Shabbos. Something got dirty. I'm just going to put it in the sink with water. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to scrub it. Right, I'm just going to put some ketchup, chalent fell on the shirt, just to dry. I'm just going to dab. Just dabbing, no scrubbing, right? Asa daraisa, right? Putting any type of liquid, that's stage one of Melecha Shabbos Libun. Stage two is also a problem. If it's already in a liquid, scrubbing it and being meshafshef. The Gemara talks about, if you remember, the end of Shabbos, kuf mem zayinish, around that area, sometimes there's Libun even without liquid. The second stage, right, where it, right, I have embedded dirt in clothing, and I try to scrub it out. That could be a problem of libun. The Gemara talks about machlokas Rishonim there, whether it's talking about dirt or water. Machlokas Rashi Tosas. That's number two, and number three, the rinsing cycle. We know rinsing out, squeezing liquid out from a towel from on Shabbos is a problem as well. Right? We know that Rabbeinu Tam holds there's two types of squeezing out liquids from garments. There's the schita of dash and the schita of libun. Tosas in a few places quotes Rabbeinu Tam that has that too. The one we're talking about here is the schita of libun, where I'm squeezing out clean liquid. If I'm squeezing out grape juice from a towel, the towel's not getting any cleaner. That's not the malacha of libun, cleaning. That could be a different type of schita, the schita of dash, threshing, which could be, if I want the wine, that would be an issur d'oraisa also. But those are the three processes in Hilchos Shabbos, and we assume that each one of them would be a problem. We get to talk about two areas of Hilchos Shabbos on today's daf, but that's one. That's libun, and the Gemara here talks about two of the three processes. Okay. So three, so that's if you do two of the same malacha in the same helam, what's the nafkamina? You know, one chatas, very paskin. Avinah told the difference is just carbon. The Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Kama. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara two dots. V'sod basid, after distancing it three tvachim, the Mishnah says sod basid. So what does that mean? Iboy luhu v'sod basid tnan odilma osod basid. Is it and or? If I distance three tefachim, is that enough? I don't have to do anything else? Or even if I distance three tefachim, I also have to line it with this liner, this lime, so it doesn't go to my friend's pit. The Ritva here says, we're not arguing about what the girsa is. We know what the girsa is. Vi-sad. The machlokas is, what is the pshat of the Mishnah, right? The question is not the girsa. So, v'sad besitznan, odima osad besitznan, right? Which one is it? So, the Gemara says, pshita divisad besitznan. Pshita is that it is and, right? You have to do both. Why? If it's or, so then imkein lir vinhu v'listinhu. So then just put it with the second section. The second section of the Mishnah definitely means or, either or. The Gemara assumes, right? The case with the Zephes and the Gephes and the, all of those, Zevel and the Gephes, right? That's all or. So if it, this, the first part of the Mishnah also meant or, so you should put it all together. So the fact that it separates it, it must mean that the first part of the Mishnah means and. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Dilma mishum de lo dami, hayazeka layazeka. Even if it has the same halacha, but it still might be two different categories and types of damage. So that's why you'd put it separately. Reisha hazeka de misuna, or de mitunta, as we had before. Seifa hazeka de hevla. One is liquid moisture damage, and one is fumes damage. Right? Two different types of damage. So therefore, even though they're both might have the same halacha, that's why the Gemara might put it together. The Gemara here, does not have a maskana. Let's continue reading and then we'll, see a little more. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sela Hababi Adayim, case we had at the beginning of yesterday's daf, very soft earth. You can pick up the dirt with your hands. You don't have to dig so hard. So Sela Hababi Adayim, Zechofer Boro Mikan, Zechofer Boro Mikan. Everybody digs their own pit. Zemarche Gimel Tvachim, Visad Basid. Zemarche Gimel Tvachim, Visad Basid. Right, what does it say? They have to dig Gimel Tvachim and then line it. Right, we had this yesterday discussing, what if somebody's ditch is not there yet? Can the other person, does the other person have to distance? That's why we brought this up there. But time of the Babi Adayim. So we assume, why does this Brisa say that you have to do both because it's such soft earth and that really needs a super protection? Hello, Babi Adayim. But if it wouldn't be such soft earth, lo, then maybe we could be Madaik that you would only need one or the other. So isn't that a raya that in a regular case like our Mishnah, it's one or the other, right? Kasha on what we just said. So the Gemara says, no, hu adin da avagav delo babi adayim nami sad basid. Maybe even if it's not so soft, still you would have to do both. You would have to line it. Ubabi adayim estrichale. The chiddush is that even if it's so soft, this is enough. Salkadai dachamina kivin de babi adayim liboy rav chatfei. You might have thought because it's so soft falling apart, you need even more space preventative. Kamash malan, we don't say that. Kamash malan, three tvachim, and lining it basid, that is good enough. One doesn't have to do more than that. Period. So there is no maskana here. So, Lamaskana, what do we say? What about digging and do you need the sod basid? So we might say, well, what difference does it make because I'm not digging any pits next to my friend's pits. No, but this could give us, we start with Nahagdama of the parak we mentioned, this could give us an insight into how we categorize this area of halacha. When we have a bayi de lo ifshita, which rule of suffik do we use to be machriya? Right? We discussed this various times at the end of Bamitzia. Remember, we discussed this by not paying one's worker. Right? Is that yoredeya? Is that choshe mishpat? Ona'a, ribis, many different areas of halacha border on choshe mishpat and yoredeya. Is it imamunis and isser v'heter? So what do we do in a case of suffik? Do you say amos mechaber alav araya? Right? Do you say suffik deraisa lechumra? And if you say suffik deraisa lechumra, who has to be machmir? Right? The mazik or the nizak? Right? It's a lot of different layers here. So if we look in the rush here in Siman Dalet, the Rosh in Siman Dalet says, below Efshita, Hilkach, Im Asa Echad Mehen, Ein Kofin Oso Lasos Yoser. If he does one of them, you're not allowed to force him to do more. That is the way our version of the Rosh. That if he distin three Tvachim, Bezdin will not force him to line it with Sid, or vice versa, if he does one of them. If you look in the Tur quotes the Rosh as Lechatchila. Lechatchila, he only has to do one. Because it's a bayad alo ifshita, and therefore, pasha sounds like a mosim echal of araya. I'm not spending any more money, and therefore, dini maminis. So, that's it. You prove to me. But if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Shechinim, the question is, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam, begin with Hilchas Shechinim, in Perek Tes, the Rambam says, The Rambam quotes, Perek Tes is all about our Perek, our Chachas Nizakin, and the Rambam says, Lo Yachbar Adam Bar, Velo Siach, Velo Ma'ara, Velo Yavi Amas Hamayim, Velo Yasab Berech Has Hamayim, Lishros Babagadim, Lechbos Pesad Kesel Shechaveiro, Ela Im Kain, Herchach Mikosa Chaveiro Shlosha Tvachim, Vi Yasud Besid Lekosel Bar. The Rambam quotes both. Rambam quotes both. The Magen Mishnah says, why does he quote both? Vesad Basid, Lomar, Tarti Be'inan, Harchaka Vesid, Baya Begamara Va'amru. Why is it, why does the Rambam say that he thinks it's both? So I would have said, well, maybe because it's Safik Isser. And if it's Safik Isser, you have to cover yourself. You have to make sure that you're not violating. The Magen Mishnah and the Ritva both say here there's a different reason. Meaning you might have said this is a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. But the Magen Mishnah and the Ritva both don't want to say that. They say, you know why the Rambam says that? Because the first line of the Gemara that we just read. The Gemara said, well, it's obvious v'sad v'sid p'tzanan. Because the second line of the Mishnah. And then the Gemara said, no, that's not so obvious. But because the Gemara even earlier said the lashon of pshita divisad v'sid p'tzanan, the Rambam must think that wasn't really fully rejected the maskana. That's how they understand the Rambam. Olamer pshita detarti be'inan v'chulu v'nidche aval kasva amafarshem dekiva dekach amru b'pshitus detarti be'inan hachikayim alon v'zeh das hamachaber. That is what they suggest for the Rambam, that it's not something fundamental, that it is a suffix iser, but it is just because the Gemara used the lashon of pshita. You obviously need both because of the language of the end of the Gemara. But one might have said, if you look in the Ritva's footnotes here, he has two columns, and a lot of Ritva is so very fat on Baba Basra, not only because of the Ritva, but because of the notes on the Ritva, like we know from Yevamis, not that big. But the Gemara here said, that's in the footnotes, he talks about it here. This discussion, and he says, you know, the Rush is based on suffix mama lakula, while the Rambam and others might be based on, he says, the Vilna Gaon, right, is medayik, that he thinks that it's suffix iser. And if it's suffix iser, that's why you have to do the more fundamental approach of the Rambam. Okay. So that is in terms of Psak, giving us an insight in terms of the category of area of halacha this is. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Marchik, next part of the Mishnah. Marchik, it says, as a gefes, ves a zevel, ves a melach, ves a slaim. So all of these items cause warmth. And because they cause warmth, that's going to ruin my friend's wall of his pit, and that's why I have to keep the distance. So, if you remember the list was Gefes, Zevel, Melach, Sid, Slaim. That's the slime is the one that's going to be problematic for us. Slime are rocks, certain types of rocks that add heat. Right? Rashi says, Rashi back on the Mishnah, Avanim Shehaor Yotze Mehen, and they're Motzi Hevel. So, the Gemara here wonders why our Mishnah has this list, and the Mishnah in Shabbos has a different list. Tanan Hasam says, the Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth parak in Shabbos, Bameh Tomnin Uvameh Ein Tomnin. We know there is an Isser Durabanan on Shabbos called Hatzmana. The three Isseri Durabanan of Bishol, Shehiya, Hachazara, and Hatzmana. Hatzmana insulating. We'll get to some of the details by the Shem soon. But one is not allowed to insulate on Shabbos, because even if the food is fully cooked. Even if it's fully cooked, Levusha called Sarcho, so there's no Bishol Daraisa going on here. There is a Machlokas Rishonim in general, the Rashba and the Rambam. Is there Bishol Daraisa after something is edible until it's fully cooked? After it's machlo ben drusoy until it's fully cooked. That is a machlokas rishonim. The Rashba says, once it's machlo ben drusoy, once it's a third or a half cooked, machlokas ramam rashi, but once it's a third or a half cooked, then there is no more bishul daraisa until mavushal kol tzarcho, and the Rambam says no. Up until mavushal kol tzarcho is bishul daraisa, and that's what we're machmer for. Lechatchila, bishul daraisa. But either way, hatmana, the isur derabanan of hatmana, of insulating, is even if food is fully cooked. That's the context of the Mishnah. So let's see the question, and then we'll talk more about that Isser. So, Ein Tomnim. So the Mishnah says there, you're not allowed to insulate in certain materials. There are different halachas. Insulation that adds heat, insulation that keeps the heat. Right? That's different halachas. But Ein Tomnim lo begefes, lo bezevel, velo bemelach, all of these add heat. Velo besid, velo bechol. So there's one item on each of the lists that doesn't appear in the other Mishnah. Our Mishnah has avanim, stones. That Mishnah has chol, sand. Sand is not in our Mishnah, and avanim is not in that Mishnah. Bein lachem ein yevashim, right? Whether moist or wet. So ask the Gemara, why? They're both contexts are talking about adding heat items. So why is one item left off each of the lists? Why does our Mishnah say little rocks, pebbles, and not sand? And over there, that Mishnah by Hatmana has sand and doesn't have stones. So the Gemara says three tries. Number one, Amar of Yosef, Lefishain, Darkon Shobani Adam Lahatman Bislaim. People don't usually insulate their Shabbos food in little pebbles. Right, that's not what they do, even in the days of old, right, where there were no towels, or insulating towels. Still, they had different items, but people didn't do it in Slaim. Right, that's it, so that's why Slaim aren't in the other Mishnah. Even at this stage, we're gonna reject this, but it's interesting that the Gemara here does not go into, okay, what about the other side? People don't do Hatmana in Slaim, but what about digging? What about chol in our Mishnah? This is why slum isn't in that Mishnah. What about chol not in that Mishnah? So says the Rimigash, v'hayal in ladakdek tenach slum dlok tani lini hatmana chol dlok tani lini kosel alamai. Why didn't it say the other one? Says the Rimigash, kiv ella kivon she nidchu dvarav b'slum leinyan hatmana lo hutzrachnu ladakdek alav b'chol leinyan kosel. Meaning, sometimes the Gemara will ask a double-sided question, the Rimigash says, and only answer one half. And once you explain one half, then the other half it doesn't even bother to answer, because, you know, maybe to keep it parallel, maybe to keep it the same number of items. But once we explain one side, the other side doesn't bother the Gemara, always. So that's the methodological point that the Rimigash has on our line. But either way, that's Rav Yosef. That's why it doesn't mention slime in that Mishnah. So Amale Abaya says, wait a minute, you're telling me that those Mishnayos and Shabbos only list off materials that people commonly use to insulate? V'chidarkan shol b'nei adam lahatmin begizei tzemer? Do people usually insulate in raw wool? Uleshono shel argaman? Right, all these other types of materials. Titania, tone begizit semer, ubitzibe pish semer, ubeloshana shalagaman, ubemochin vematatlanosam. Right, you can insulate. So you see there, the Mishnayos and the Brises have items that aren't so commonly insulated in. So that can't be the reason why slime is not mentioned there. The Brisa does add on vematatlanosam, which means they're muksa. Right, that parak, if you remember, the third and the fourth parak of Shabbos, is all about bishul issues, and sprinkled with the second half of Kira is all about muksa, and Bamei Tominim also has issues of muksa, and we talked about there why it is that you're allowed to insulate with something that's muksa. How do you get your pot out? So the Mishnah describes how you have the handle of the pot sticking out from between all of the muksa items, and muksa is only usur to move directly. So if I pick up the pot and the muksa items fall off the cover of the pot, I didn't touch the muksa directly, and everything is fine, and I'm allowed to take out my food. But that's what the Brisa here means by ein metaltelin osam in that context of Hatmana. So we're back to the question of why is there a chilek? Sorry, but it's mentioning. The Mishnah is mentioning items. But the Mishnah doesn't sound like it's mentioning items because it's more common to use. It sounds like it's mentioning just halachically what adds heat, what doesn't add heat. It's a Hilchas Hatmana issue. So why there are the materials mentioned if it is something not so common? Just to mention, Tosfos and Maseches Beitza discusses, if you remember, a big topic, but Tosfos discusses Ein Metaltelin Osan. So let's think, what's the picture? I have a pot that's totally surrounded by a muksa item material, raw wool. So the Mishnah says, just pick it up, take it out, hold it by the handle. You're not allowed to be metaltel directly. Ask all the Rishonim, what about basis l'davar ha'asur? Right, we know the rule is, if I have something that's not muksa, that is supporting something that is muksa, the item that's muksa is on top of the item that's not muksa, the bottom thing also becomes somewhat muksa. Right, as a lumdus, how that works. But either way, it's a basis l'davar ha'asur. So here, I put the pot and I surround it, so why isn't the pot cover a basis l'davar ha'asur? I shouldn't be able to move the pot cover either. So that's what Tosfos discusses in Beitza on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. The first daf in Beitza. Tosfos discusses this. Right? What's Tosfos' context? Tosfos is about where I have a tablecloth and I have a ton of garbage on the tablecloth. I have chicken bones and I have shells of pits and all these muksa items. So Tosfos discusses there. Why can you take the tablecloth off? Right? Isn't it a basas davar ha'asur? Similar type of idea. So Tosfos there has three answers. Tema v'alohi basas davar ha'asur. Taha lo shachach. Right? If I forget something on a namuksa item, then it's not a basis. I have to be meniachit. I have to place it there. But in both of these contexts, we placed it there. Tosva says two ideas. Number one, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's only a basis if you have plans to leave it there the entire Shabbos. But if you know that you're going to take it off beforehand, then that's not a basis. So just like in our case, you know you're going to take off the pot cover before Shabbos is over. It's not meant to be there the entire Shabbos. Inami, Tosis's case has another answer. Kivan dahavi sham ochlin, avi lebasis davaras davar mutter. Okay, there's mutter items on the tablecloth also. That doesn't help for us. Right, if it's the wool is on top of the pot cover. Number three, va'od de'ein ze meniach bekavana to ha'eno choshesh heichan yiplu. Another answer for the tablecloth case. Did you put it down? You just ate the chicken and you put threw the bones down. You put it down somewhere specific. You don't want it on here. That also doesn't help for our case. So what do you do for our case? So other Rishonim, the Chachmei Sfarad, and Shabbos give another answer. And that is, busis, you don't just look at what's on top and what's on bottom. You look at what's servicing what. Right? What's servicing, what's the ikker here? If the ikker item is the muksa item, and the non-muksa item is servicing the muksa item, so then that's a basis of davar ha'asr. Right? I have a tray on, and the candlesticks are on top of the tray. So that tray is servicing the candlesticks. So that tray becomes muksa. If when Shabbos starts, there's nothing else on that tray except for candlesticks, so then for the entire Shabbos, that tray is also muksa because it's a basis davar ha'asr. But in our case, the pot cover is servicing the wool? No! The wool is servicing the pot cover. It happens to be that the wool is on top of the pot cover. But the wool is servicing, that's not basis davar ha'asr. What's the ikker there? The ikker is the non-muksa item. So if the ikker is the non-muksa item, that does not create basis l'davar ha'asr. So that's why this brisa that's quoted here in our Gemara, ain metaltel nosam, you can't be metaltel the wool directly, but you can be metaltel the pot cover because it is, not a case of basis. Okay, but either way, we're back to our question. Again, why does our Mishnah list off the items and leave out sand? And why does that Mishnah leave out rocks and put in sand? Try number two. Ella Amar Abaya Yagada Lavreyo. Yagada Lavreyo is a pasuk in Eov, which basically means, literally, his friends will testify about him. It means sometimes if you have two things together, one is Megal and the other one. That's the phrase the Gemara uses. Yagada Lavreyo. It's used in Hilchas Nida as well. But Tanas, the Gemara says, Tanahach Aslam Huadin Lachol, Tanahasam Chol Huadin Laslam. Okay, don't be Medaik. You have two different lists, and each of them are not all inclusive. So that's all. So says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Iyagad Lav Reyo. If you want to use that principle, Lisninhu Lekulhu Bechada. So list all of them in one Mishnah, Velisni Chada Minayu Beidach, and list one or some of them in the other Mishnah, Vuadin Leidach. That principle means it's like a kind of Gzeira Shava. If you have 10 things in one list and 8 in the other one, so the other two also apply by the 8. But if you have different ones in different Mishnayos, so that's a little more difficult to apply that principle, asks Rava. So Elama Rava, third and final answer. Rava says, Elama Rava Hasam Hainu Taima. Why does it list the chol and avanim listed separately? Delok Tani Slime. Why doesn't it say slime in that Mishnah? Mishum Dimishtachi Lalakdera. There, the pot gets ruined if you use the rocks. What does that mean? Rashi has 2 days here. Either mishabrin in sakadera, it breaks the pot. What kind of pots? They didn't have like regular metal pots, maybe. Maybe it was to scratch it. Kach shamati, Rashi says. And then, b'chol makom shamativ shemale chaluta. It'll cause rust. Right? So either way, it ruins the pot. That's why avanim are not mentioned by the atmana. Not because it's not the derech to use it, but it's damaging to use it. And that's why it's not used there. And hachai in the time, why doesn't it mention sand here? Mishum, because sand is not inherently warm heat that would damage the walls. Sand does whatever it's surrounding. If you put something hot in sand, then it keeps it warm. If you put something cold in sand, it keeps it cold. Right? What they do in the days of old for refrigeration, you put it in the ground. Right? Because whatever it is, that's what it keeps. Right, and that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah, because the dafka doesn't fit the context of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is listing off items that inherently are damaging to the other person's wall. Chol doesn't do that. Again, an important line, but let's continue first. Vatani Rabbi Oshia Chol. What do you mean? Rabbi Oshia does have chol on the list of damaging items. here. Hasam bimetuna. That's only by wet, moist sand. That for sure is a warmer. Tana dida nami listi v'lukma bimetuna. That's why doesn't our Mishnah mention it? Put it on the list. Wet sand. Hatanale amasamayim. It already says something with water. It says the aqueduct of water. That would be the same thing as sand. Says the Gemara. Atum ilok tani amasamayim. V'ktani nevrecha zakovsin. What do you mean? But our Mishnah already lists off different items of moisture. So once you're listing different items, so list off moist sand also. So where I said, no, hanit srichi. The two that are listed, there's a reason why they're both listed. Right, that why do you have the coat, the washing area and the aqueduct of water, like a pipe area? Because both of those have a need. You don't need the wet sand one. What is the need? Why does the amas hamayim, why is that a problem and you have to distance that? Because that's always there. That's like the water's always going through there. Avon nevrecha zakovsin, how often do you do laundry? You don't do it every day. But by the launderer, de lo kevia, emalo. But there, it's not something that's permanent and always every day, so there, emalo. Maybe you wouldn't think that you need the distance. Ve'itana nevrecha zakovsin, and if you only had that, mishum tekav v'kaimi. There, it's stationary water. It doesn't move. And when you have stationary water, then maybe that causes the damage. It could seep in because it's stationary. Aval ames hamayim lo. But if it's constantly moving water, maybe you wouldn't have to distance Sricha. That's why you need both of those. The Ritva here adds, the Gemara doesn't go into, so what about the other three things in the Mishnah? Right, there are other items in the Mishnah about the Siach and the Ma'ara and all of the other ones. The Gemara doesn't go into that. Hey, it does a Srichusa on the two out of the five. Right, Yakashali, Hey Chilo Abit Srichusa, Labar Siach and Ma'ara, asked the Ritva. V'yesh Lomar, Dahanu Lo Nafki Mehani, Mishum Da Amiki. You wouldn't have learned these other ones because they're deep. V'havi Saka Daidak Da Boi Tvei. You might have thought that you need even more than three tefachim. V'hani lo nafki binayu, and the other ones wouldn't have come out from bar siach uma'ara. D'sagadai takivan d'lo amiki lo ba'iku lehai. You would have thought because they're not so deep, you need even less than three tefachim. And then he says, I don't like that pshat. He gives a different pshat that all of these just go together. They're always like a package. Bar siach uma'ara. You have that in many different places in the Mishnayos, so Ritva goes through that need. Okay, 2 points. Number one, towards the end, the Chashuki Chemed here has a case. He uses this comment on the line of sand makes hot, keeps hot what's hot and keeps cold what's cold. He says, this is the case. A kehila, the Rav was Nifter, and they need a new rabbi. So there are two rabbis that come to be the Muamadim. One of them is a Talmud Chacham, Yirei Shamayim, and he's even a greater Talmud Chacham than the other one, but he's a Kar Ruach, whatever that means. Right, he doesn't light people on fire. And the other one is Cham Yoser Lavodas Hashem. The other one will inspire. He's not as big of a Talmud Chacham, but he's got the magic. He's got the fire. So he says, what do you do? So he has this Shaila, he quotes from the Afarksa to Anya, he quotes that the earlier posim say, the second one. Why? Why do you choose the second one, the one that can light the fire? He says, look at Basra Daf Yutes. Right? What does that mean? So you see, sand does whatever it's surrounding. So he says, V'tivin shal b'nei Yisrael gamken kachu. He says, so do the Jews. Right? If you have somebody, near someone else, if somebody's cold, then being near them probably is going to be cold. And hot and hot. V'kfar nimshalu yisrael l'chol, and we're compared to sand. V'yem kein im arav hu ish kar, gam heimam is karim b'libam, l'chol dever shebekdusha. V'yem arav cham libo, b'kir bo lavodas Hashem yisparak gam heima chamime. We're like sand. We do whatever our surroundings are. Right? We're affected by the chevra. V'yesh levar is cham libi b'kir bi v'chulu. And then he continues. He quotes a story of the Chafetz Chaim. He says, Mefursam. I never heard it before, but he says, Mefursam. There's a mice in one of the kilos of Lita, Lithuania. Shehalach lo'olam ha'amar da'asra. Shekian. And there was the son, and there was the, someone else. The son of the Rav HaNiftar says, oh, Chazaka, Koach B'Yerusha. Right? There's a Muchzakis in the rabbinate, and therefore I get to be the rabbi. But everybody knew him from when he was a young boy, and they weren't so excited about having the son of the rabbi as the rabbi. There was someone else that they wanted who was more fitting. So they brought the case to the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim listened, and he says, you're right, there's something called chazaka by positions, but there's one exception to the rule. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Mashuach Milchama doesn't have chazaka. The Kohen Gadol gives the pep talk before they go out to war. There's no chazaka. You get the guy who do the best job. Whoever can give the best pep talk by the Meshuach Melchama, right, that's the one you use. So you see, says the Chafetz Chaim, Midivrei Gemara Kanim Telemedim, Sheitz Lekoim, Meshuach Melchama, Ein Minui, Over B'Yerusha Labanim. Right, you go by who could stand up and inspire them. So says the Chafetz Chaim, I don't know how much is the Chafetz Chaim, how much is the Chashukei Chemed. You see, there's a war out there, the Melchamta Shel Torah, and we have to make sure that we have the greatest fighters and inspirers and Meshuach Melchamos. Every Rav today is a Meshuach Melchama, right? Giving pep talks and telling everybody to go out there and be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. So there's no such Chazaka, and therefore you choose the one that can light people on fire the most. And that's what he would say. And the last line is Lomaisa Nirish Ahakol Lafi Ha'inyan V'Lafi HaMelchamos Shetzarech L'Nahel Ba'oso Makam K'di L'Hamid Adas Altila. Okay, you got to know every shul has to make their and kihila and community has to make their decisions. Okay, obviously there's a lot we didn't get back to fully Hatmana. Hatmana is a huge discussion. Hatmana B'Davar Hamosif Hevel Einamosif Hevel. What's the reason we didn't mention the reason for Hatmana? The Isser. It says, Issur Derabbanan, the Gemara really has two levels, and the Rishonim have two levels. When I'm matmin in a davar, that's mavusha called sarachos, the Gemara uses the lashon of shema yartiach, I might come to, let's say it's insulated in something, but then I see that it's not as hot as it's getting cooler. So I might come to stoke the coals, similar to the Issur of Shehiyah, or I might come to, Yatmin, I might come to insulate it more, move around in the hot coals, and just moving something in hot coals is causing Havara and causing Kibui, but this is, an important discussion to be aware of. But again, there's a number of limitations to the Isra of Hatmana. Partial Hatmana is a big Shaila, right? That's what they say. The last psak of Shlomo Zalman ever gave. The last psak was the crockpot psak. Right, the crockpot psari talks about raising the crockpot up a little, forgetting lining the inside, which is an issue of shehiyah or hachzara or covering the knobs, but the issue of the crockpot itself, where the crockpot is not covered on top. Right, if somebody has an insert, then you have the cover, but the insulation means hatmana means totally insulated. The top has to be covered, but here it's not. So what do you say by hatmana b'miksas? So the Rama seems to be mekel, but what if it's hatmana b'miksas that's supposed to be like this? The Rama says Hatmana B'miksas is okay because you didn't do what you normally do. But the crockpot, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. So this is a major machlokas aposkin. The last psak of Shlomo Zalman gave, he was machmir. And they're saying that's why some lift up the crockpot a little bit. You put a ball of tinfoil on the bottom, whatever it is. Other poskim are mekel, they say no. Read the Rama Kipshuto. Hatmana B'miksas lo shma hatmana. And as long as the top is revealed and not covered, it is okay. So, machlokes haposkim regarding that. But again, there's a lot of others, kavana lahatmin, and other issues as well, which we're not going to get into now. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, third wide line, towards the bottom. So we distance the third part of the Mishnah, seeds and plows. We have to keep away from my friend's bar, also three tefachim. Right, that is the Mishnah. So Zroim, seeds, typically Mishnah Machresha. What do you have to have both of these in the Mishnah for? If seeds have to be three away, so you plow seeds. So once you say the seeds have to be three away, so the plow also has to be three away. So Mapolas Yad, no, it's possible to have seeds without plowing. Right? If you throw them with your hand. Mapolas Yad, that's why it has to say the other one too. But it says the Gemara, okay, however, the other way. Machresha, v'tebekle mishim Zroim. Plow? Why does it have to say plowing? It says the seeds have to be three away. So, b'choreshi la'ilanos, there's a case where you might plow without seeds. Right? You're just softening the earth around a tree so the tree could grow better. So that's why you could have each one of these separately. That's why you have to list them both. V'tebekle mishimaya, but what do you mean? What about both of them? You're gonna have to water, right, the areas around, and that was the first part of the Mishnah. All the moisture has to be distanced. Tana be'eretz Yisrael koi. Maybe not. Maybe the Tana is talking about an eretz Yisrael. Dechsev lo matar hashamayim tishdemayim. Hashem will take care of that. Right? So not you pouring specifically water, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. Period. Lameimra. So what impression do you get from this Gemara? The seeds you can't put too close because the seeds are going to go and spread its tentacles of its roots sideways. So Gemara says, is that really true? Lameimra dizron l'tzadin kamishtarshi. Do we assume that seeds go sideways? L'tzadin kamishtarshi. Right, and they're going to go into the other person's pit. V'hatznan. But didn't we learn in the Mishnah Maseches Kelayim, hamavrach zagefen baretz. Havracha. What's havracha? If I have a vine. I take the vine and I want to have another vine 10 yards away. So I take the vine and I stick it in the ground and I pull it underneath the ground and I pull it up 10 feet away. So now I have a new vine there. So that's Havracha. Harkava is plain grafting on top Two different things. Havracha is underneath. So Amavrech is a gefen ba'aretz. So we know the Isser of Kilayim. So how deep does the vine have to be into the ground so that I can plant something on top? And that's not called a mixture of the vine and the seeds on top. So, Hamavrech has a gefen ba'aretz. Im ein al gaba ofer shlosha tvachim. If there isn't three tvachim on top, lo yavi zera aleha. Then you can't put zraim there because it's going to mix. The Ramban, the Rashba here say the iser is not because of yinika. It's not because of nourishing, being nourished from the same area. The iser is literally irbuv shirashim. You're worried about the roots are going to get mixed up. Irbuv shirashim. So that's the Bryce, that's the Mishnah. Vitani Elon the Bryce says about it, Aval Zoreas, that's Tadim Elef Elech, but you can plant to the side. You can't plant on top of the vine if it's within three Tvachim. You can plant to the side, but what do you see from there? That we don't assume seeds are going to go sideways. We assume the seeds are going to go straight down. So, Rabbi Chaga, B'shem Rabbi Yossi, Mipnei, Shema, you're right, even if it goes straight down, still there's a problem. Because, Mipnei Shemach Lidin Asakarku, Umal Anafer Tichoach. Even if it goes straight down, it's still going to soften the earth. And if it's going to soften the earth, so that's still a problem, and it's going to damage my friend's property. Now, we discussed, I think, back in Baba Kama, that there was a certain type of plant that Yoshua ben Nun used to use at the borders between the Shvatim, because the roots went straight down. Generally, roots don't go straight down. They go across. But they use the chatzav. The chatzav, the roots went straight down, and that's why that was used for the borders between the Shvatim. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, Amaraba, es meiraglayim and akosel gimel tvachim v'chulu. Right, one has to distance meiraglayim from the wall, also three tvachim, because that is damaging. Amaraba, barbarchana, mutul adam lashin mayim, bitzad kosel shochaveiro. Remember, in the days of old, when there were no bathrooms in every house, so a lot of times people often went to the bathroom in the open. So the question is, you know, there are limitations about going to the bathroom. You know, the Gemara talks about in Hilchos Shabbos, we're allowed to go to the bathroom. You have to make sure that one doesn't violate any Hilchos Shabbos when going to the bathroom, but also here, Hilchos Mazik. So, Mutal Adam, Rabbi Rachana says, Mutal Adam Ashton Mayim Bitzad Kosel Shachaveiro. A person doesn't have to worry, doesn't cause damage. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, after Achav and Izevel tragically kill Navos and the vineyard, the whole story in the Sefer Malachim. So Eliyahu Navi curses Achav and says, "Vechrati laAchav mashtin bakir va'atzur va'azav Yisrael." He will totally be cut off. And anyone mashtin bakir, which we assume is a lashon to those who go to the bathroom by the wall. That's a reference to all males, right? That's the lashon, but it's like a lowly way of referring to them. They say, "Achav, all your descendants." Even the Mashtin Bakirs are going to be uprooted. But what do you see from there? You see that that's what people did, right? And we assume that they weren't violating any Yisr Hezek at that time. So that's what we assume. That's what Rabbi Barachana's source, that you could go to the bathroom, be Mashtin right next to the wall. Says the Gemara, Bo'anantanab, what about our Mishnah? Bo'anantanab, Ves Meiraglayim, Nakozo Shosha Tvachim. Our Mishnah says you have to distance three Tvachim. Hasam B'shofchin. No, that doesn't mean regular going to the bathroom. That means if somebody has a bowl from the house that's full of Meiraglayim, dumping that. Right, that type of amount and force at one point in one spot spill that would be damaging. Period. Tashma lo yashdin adam mayim b'tzad kosel shachaveiro ela im kehichim enu gimel tvachim. But one second, we have the following. Right, a person is allowed to be mashdin next to the wall ela im kehichim enu gimel tvachim. B'med ramamurim b'kosel levenim. When does that apply by kosel levenim? By a clay wall. Ava b'kosel avanim. But by a stone wall, that you need less because a stone is less affected. B'chdi shelo yazik. Right, so as long as you know it doesn't damage. V'kama tefach. How far does it have to be? Tefach, right? A tefach away is good enough that it wouldn't damage. Vishel machlokes rishonim derech agav, whether this chilek of stone wall, does that apply to all the items in the Mishnah? The zevel and the gefes, that's a machlokes. Rabbeinu Yonah assumes it only applies by the meiraglayim. The other ones have to be more distance, while the others disagree. Vishel tsun mamutr, but if you have tsunma, which is full rock that goes all the way down into the ground, mutr right away, because that rock is never going to be affected. Tziufta drabar barachana, tziufta. Rabar barachana has no limitations. He says you can just go next to the wall. Right, do whatever you want. And here this brisa has some other limitations. It says the Gemara of Ahar, Rabbi Chana Krok Amar, but didn't he quote the pasuk by Achav? Right, so what do you do with that pasuk? The Gemara says, Hasam Hachi Kamar. That pasuk is not saying that you're allowed to do that right next to the wall. Afilu midi de darke lashtune bakir. It's not referring to people. There's another being in life that always goes to the bathroom next to the wall. Lo shavikna le. I'm not even going to let his pets last. Umayninu kalba. Like a dog. That's what a dog does. And that's what it's referring to with the pasuk. It's not referring to people. It's referring to a dog. Period. Amar of Tuvi Barkisna. Totally new world. We're about to start. Why is this brought here? It comes up on tomorrow's daf. But we're now getting into the world of Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel. So we know that if there is a mace in a house, so then everything in the house is Tame. What if there's a mace in a house and the next room and the door is open? So whatever's in the next room is also Tame. It's one roof it goes through. What if there's a window? It also goes through, as long as the window is a tefach opening. As long as it's a tefach opening. What if it's smaller than a tefach, then the tumah does not go through. Tumah does not go through. What if it's a tefach opening, but I stuck something in the window to block part of the tefach? So now it's not a tefach. So that now is a question. That's a question. Well, why is it there? Are you planning to leave it there? Is it an item that's makabel tumah or not makabel tumah? That's the context of what we're about to get into. Rav Chaim assumes, based on a halacha, I'll read it from the Ritva. The Ritva here notes that there are windows and there are windows. The Ritva says that there are four types of windows in this area of halacha. And he says, you can look in the Mishnah in Olas, in Perek Yud Gimel. Right? Olas is 19 prakim. In the 13th Perek, he says, the Mishnah that describes why the window's made. Is it a window made for usage? Is it like to put stuff in and out? Is it a window made for light? Is it a window made for air? Is it a window that was made just by the animals or a rotting? There's different halachos about what the area in between, right? Some even bigger is not marbet the tumah. Some even smaller it is marbet the tumah, depending on the window. Reb Chaim assumes based on this halacha, he doesn't quote the Ritva, he quotes the Mishnah. Reb Chaim in the Gracha Lashas, Simin Reish Pei Aleph assumes that the idea of a tefach bringing the tumah in is not a din of kol hatorah kula, that we view these reshuyos as connected. Because there's an air, it's like the tumah goes through. Because then there wouldn't be a difference why your window is a window. The fact that there are differences in the halacha based on what the purpose of the window is means there's a special din in tumas ohel. Special din in chalonos of the structure. Again, we don't have time to go through it, but that's in the Gracha Lashas, Reish Pei Aleph. So with all that background, Amar Shmuel, Rikik Eina Mamait Bechalon. If I put a cookie, if I put a wafer into the window, that's not memait. Why? Because because you're going to take it out. That's a cookie. It's not going to stay there. You weren't mevatel it there. So you still view it as if there's a whole tefach in the window. Air. My aryeh rakik afilu avinami. Why say a rakik? A thin wafer. Afilu avinami, even a thick one. So the Gemara says, Lomi bai kamar. It's going with not only, right? This is the bigger chiddush. Lomi bai oven, not only a thick wafer. Tekivan de ichsile. Since you see it, if it's a big one, you're going to see it and you're going to come eat it. Ella rakik dimim is, but a rakik, a thin one that becomes disgusting being in there by the moisture. Ema betule mavtule. Maybe you'll come eat mavatale and leave it there. And therefore you should say it is mafsik, the tumah. Kamash malam, we don't say that. Kamash malam, we say that it is not considered there and therefore it is not mafsik. Says the Gemara of it, typically, why do you have to get into whether you're going to be a mevatel up there? There are other reasons why it shouldn't be a mechitza. It shouldn't be considered taking up space. V'tepekle davile davershu makabal tuma. Food is makabal tuma. Right? The Rambam has a whole area of hilchas tumas ochlin. V'chol davershu makabal tuma eino chotzis b'pnei ha-tuma. Anything that is makabal tuma cannot prevent tuma from going through. So that's why the cookie shouldn't be a chatzitza. So where it says, no, shenilosh b'mei peros. You kneaded it with mei peros. You didn't use water. And we know, the Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Machshirin, that in order for food to become tamei, it has to become wet with one of the seven liquids. Yad shachadam, that Rashi Tevos, and if it doesn't, so then one is not allowed to, it's not makabal tumah. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a cookie that is not makabal tumah. Says, let's finish and then we'll mention Tosfos. Meisve, but 1 minute, I have another kasha, kupa, malea tevin. V'chavas malea grogaris. What if in the window I have a barrel or a box that's full of tevin and grogaris? So what's the issue here? The barrel or the box is makabel tuma. So you have to view it as if that's not there. The food inside might not be makabel tuma if it never got wet before. So, habunachin b'chalon, they're in a window, rowin, kol she'ilu yinatzlu, if you could take away the barrel and the box. V'yicholin tevin u'grogas la'amod b'fnei atzman, and the food could stay there and they won't fall. Chotzin, then that could be a chatzitza. V'yim lavin chotzin, but if it would fall down, it's not chotzitz. Says the Gemara, v'hat tevin chazila behemto, but what do you mean? Tevin is roi for macho behema, and therefore it shouldn't be chotzitz. It has a tashmish. Bisarya, no, it's putrid straw. Chazi Latino, you can use it for cement. So there again, it should be makabel tuma. This mekotzi, it has thorns in it. You're never going to use it for the cement. Chazi Lasaka, you can use it for firewood. Bimetunta, it's moist. You're never going to use it. Chazi Lasagadu, you can use it for a big fire, even if it's a little moist. Hasagadu lo shriach. That's such a common usage. You don't have to think about that for laws of tuma. So that was the tevin. Grogaris achazilei, the grogaris, but you know you could eat the dried dates. Amar Shmuel b'shehitrifu v'chaytani ravaravua b'shehitrifu. It's a case where it became wormy and therefore you wouldn't use it. But either way, we'll see what this has to do with anything that we're talking about. Just one ha'ara. Tosfos here is an important line. Tosfos and the little Tosfos sheni losha. Again, there's a lot here, but let's just look at Tosfos sheni losha. Tosfos says, what was the Gemara's answer? Oh, it's not makabel tuma because it was made with mei peros. Tosfos says the Gemara could have also said, "Havi matzi l'shenuye kagon she'ain bo kebeitza." It was smaller than a beitza, but the case was that it still made it into less than a tefach. Smaller than a beitza. Tosfos assumes smaller than a beitza is not mekabel toma. That is a major discussion. Does that mean both directions? Smaller than a beitza can't be mekabel and can't be metame? What if you have a food that already became tame, but it's smaller than a beitza? Could that be metame something else? Also, if the fact that it's not ein bo kebeitza, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? If it's a din d'rabbanan, so should that affect the laws of tuma d'oraisa? This is a big discussion in the Rishonim, but it's an important suggestion that Tosfos makes here, that it could be, the Gemara could have answered pachos mikabeitza. Other Rishonim don't say that, maybe they have different views of this topic. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, tomorrow's daf will be put up last cycle. It's a little shorter. It sounds like I wasn't feeling well 7.5 years ago. And then Be'ezrin will pick up on daf chaf aleph.